Chapter 75, Forgiveness of the Ignorant. Allah the Exalted says, Show forgiveness, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the foolish, i.e. don't punish them. 7.199. So, overlook, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, their faults with gracious forgiveness. 15.85. Let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? 24.22. And who pardon men? Verily, Allah loves al-Muhsinun, the good-doers. 3.134. And verily, whosoever shows patience and forgives, that would truly be from the things recommended by Allah. 42.43. 6.43. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, I asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, Have you ever experienced a day harder than the day of the Battle of Uhud? He replied, Indeed, I experienced them, dangers at the hands of your people, i.e. the disbelievers from amongst the Quraysh tribe. The hardest treatment I met from them was on the day of Aqaba, when I went to Ibn Abdul Yalil bin Abdul Qulal, who was one of the chiefs of Taif, with the purpose of inviting him to Islam. But he made no response to my call, so I departed with deep distress. I did not recover until I arrived at Qarn al-Tha'alib. There I raised my head and saw a cloud which had cast its shadow on me. I saw in it Gabriel, peace be upon him, who called me and said, Indeed, Allah the Exalted heard what your people said to you and the response they made to you, and he has sent you the angel in charge of the mountains to order him to do to them what you wish. Then the angel of the mountains called me, greeted me, and said, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah listened to what your people had sent to you. I am the angel of the mountains, and my Rabb has sent me to you so that you may give me your orders. I will carry out your orders. If you wish, I will bring together the two mountains that stand opposite to each other at the extremities of Makkah to crush them in between. But the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, I rather hope that Allah will raise from among their descendants people as will worship Allah, the One, and will not ascribe partners to Him in worship. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. In the vicinity of Al-Madinah stands a mountain called Uhud, where the Battle of Uhud took place. It was in this battle that the Prophet's face was wounded. One of his molars was broken and he fell into a pit dug by Amr al-Rahib. Besides, his uncle Hamza, radiallahu anhu, was martyred, and the disbelievers mutilated his body. Aqaba was a place at Taif where the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, rode up from Makkah and met the worst experience. Or it could be that the incident occurred somewhere at Mina during the Hajj season. He urged the different clans to accept the message of Islam so as to seek their help to establish the true religion. Qarn al-Tha'alib is also the name of a place which is the Miqat, transit point where pilgrims assume the state of Ihram of the Najd people. This hadith also reflects the marvelous character of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, that he never rebuked the ignorant and those who caused him harm, nor did he ever avenge anybody on grounds of personal hostility. Secondly, he would endure all forms of hardships in the way of Allah with patience and endurance. He never became furious over his harassers. Rather, he prayed for their guidance. No doubt, the prophetic life pattern perennially provides inspiration to preachers and religious instructors. The responsibility of preaching is not a bed of roses, but a thorny path to tread on. It is not the welcome and applause which is meted out to him, but people's taunts, reproaches, and insults are heaped on the preacher. Consequently, patience, self-possession, self-control, and tolerance are vital to braving trials and tribulations in the way of Allah. 6.44. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, never hit anything with his hand, neither a servant nor a woman, but of course, he did fight in the cause of Allah. He never took revenge upon anyone for the wrong done to him. But of course, he extracted retribution for the sake of Allah in case the injunctions of Allah about unlawful acts were violated. Muslim. Commentary. For explanatory comments, the reader may refer to Hadith number 641. 645. Anas radiallahu anhu reported, I was walking with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, who was wearing a Najrani cloak with a very thick border, when a Bedouin happened to meet him. He took hold of the side of his cloak and drew it violently. I noticed that the violence of the jerk had bruised the neck of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. The Bedouin said, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, give me out of Allah's wealth that you possess. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, turned to him and smiled and directed that he should be given something. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith also highlights the Prophet's sublime morality, patience, and self-control. He smiled away the discourtesy of the Bedouin and bade the offering of a gift to him. 646. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu reported, I can see the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, look like one of the Prophets of Allah, whose people beat and made him bleed while he was wiping the blood from his face and supplicating, O Allah, forgive my people because they know not. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. The ulama say that by relating the painful incident of a prophet, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, in fact implied his own experience at the hands of his people. Indeed, this expresses his extreme numbness that he vaguely described his bitter self-experience without bringing into light the unthinking persecutors of his nation. 647. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, the strong man is not the one who wrestles, but the strong man is in fact the one who controls himself in a fit of rage. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. People are usually impressed by the physical power and strength of somebody, but the real strength of a man lies in the fact that he should be able to wrestle with his passions in a fit of anger and avoid committing an act for which he may subsequently regret. This is a common observation that wild anger leads to many a wrongdoing of which man repents later on or sheds tears over the ruin resulting from it.